Welcome back. You're listening to Off the Hour, community news on CKUT 90.3 FM. The time now is 5:04. We turn our attention first to Ferguson, Missouri, in the United States, where last night a grand jury decided not to criminally indict Darren Wilson, a police officer who shot and killed unarmed black youth Michael Brown back in August. Protests and riots quickly erupted in Ferguson, a suburb of St. Louis, following the court's decision, and also happened simultaneously in many cities across the U.S. Tonight in Montreal, there will be a candlelight vigil and protest starting at 7 p.m. at the Roddick Gates of McGill, organized by the Black Student Network. I'm going to hand it over to Aaron Lakoff, our news coordinator, to talk more about this.
So to talk about these events, both in Ferguson and here in Montreal, we're joined on the phone right now by Will Prosper, who's a community organizer with Montréal Nord-République and an anti-police brutality activist. Prosper has been involved in supporting the family of Freddy Villanueva, an unarmed Latino youth shot dead by the Montreal police in August 2008. Welcome to the program, Will.
Thanks for having me, Aaron.
Also on the phone with us, we have Samantha Samuels, who's the co-president of the Black Student Network at McGill, who are organizing the vigil that we just mentioned that'll be happening at McGill tonight at 7 p.m. Welcome, Samantha.
Thank you for having me.
And here in studio with us, we have Kai Thomas, who is a local radio activist, also involved with the DESTA Black Youth Network. Welcome back to the program, Kai.
Hi there.
So, Samantha, maybe let's begin with you. Can you tell us a little bit more about the vigil that's going to be happening tonight, Black Lives Matter, in response to Ferguson here at McGill?
Okay, yep. It's a... called Black Lives Matter. It's our candlelight vigil and peaceful protest. And we're going to be standing in solidarity with Mike Brown's family, with the people of Ferguson and all their initiatives that they have over there as they are rioting. We're going to be peaceful, and that's a stress we'd like to put on that as well, where we're going to be paying our respects and reflecting on these issues that, and I'm not sure if this is the topic that you're going to be discussing later, but it's issues that, and as you mentioned, that they don't, they're not isolated to America and Will Prosper. You just introduced me to that name. And these incidents, they do happen here in Quebec. So here in Quebec, here in Canada, and like that's something that we want to also keep a focus on. But tonight, we're really just zooming into the terrible, in our opinion, decision of the grand jury. And so we're coming together in solidarity because as we are at McGill, predominantly white, white student university, we have the black students here at this school who often don't feel like they're being heard, often don't feel like things are being done with regards to justice for themselves. So we want to just show everyone our support as the Black Students Network, and we want everyone to be able to come out peacefully, join together in solidarity for Ferguson and Mike Brown.
So again, that's...
It's happening tonight at 7 to 8 p.m. And we're actually going to move it over to the lower campus field, which is right exactly where we said it would be at Roddick Gate. So as soon as you come in, just make your way onto the field at 7 p.m. And then there will be an address at 7:30 and a moment of silence. And we'll take it from there.
Great. And we do encourage all of our listeners who can make it out to be there tonight. Samantha, maybe on a more personal level, can you tell us a little bit about, you know, your reactions to the news, of course, last night, looking at Ferguson and the fact that it was announced by the grand jury that there would be no indictment for Darren Wilson, the police officer who killed Michael Brown?
I mean, I was and I still am and I just have been just so heartbroken by these events. And it's something, I come from a neighborhood actually in Toronto where things, it's not, some people would even go as far as to call it the hood or whatever, but I come from an area where I can identify with these things. So when I see young black men dying and no justice being served, it just, it's painful to witness. I see myself in their eyes. I see myself in their positions, and I see there are so many people who I could easily have. It didn't have to be Mike Brown. It could have easily been my brother, my father. Mm-hmm. So I see this, and it hits close to home, and it's painful to watch, and it's painful to witness. And there was a point last night when I first saw this, and I just felt like all hope was lost, and I I quickly, I gathered and spoke with my execs, and I'm just like, guys, like, just from the way I'm feeling, I know I'm not alone in this feeling. We need to do something about this, because, like, feeling that way alone, feeling that hopelessness, I don't feel that that is productive at all. And I mean, of course, we're humans, and that's the emotion that overcame me, and it's still, I feel like I've just been walking around heart heavy all day, even seeing responses to this. Like, I'm just so saddened by the news. But we're hoping to move forward collectively, progressively as a community, both here at McGill, all Black people, Black students worldwide, young boys, young girls, down to the oldest. I just feel like we need a change, and the change is continuous, and it's something that is not ending. It did not end with Martin Luther King. It is not ending with us. It is a continuous battle, and we are fighting it, and I feel so engulfed in the fight. And I would be lying if I said I didn't love the fight, because I refuse to just sit back and let it overcome me, overtake me, like stay in this state of hopelessness. Mm-hmm. So that was my personal feeling from the event last night.
Thank you, Samantha Samuels from the Black Student Network. If you can stay with us just for a little bit, we want to bring you back into the conversation. But let's go to Kai Thomas, who's here with us in studio. Kai, if you can offer some of your reflections, just you know, watching the news last night with Ferguson.
Definitely. And first off, thank you to Samantha and the BSN for organizing this event. I'm definitely going to attempt to express my mourning with fellow human beings. You know, in the mass of social media, it can sometimes feel very paralyzing, and it's good to get out and about. And also, one thing that you touched on, Samantha, is that it's good to express our solidarity without delegating this situation to Missouri or to the South or to the States, for that matter. The tragedy of Mike Brown's case, his murder, is not an isolated incident. And though it's painful to consider this, we have to view this as one of many events that is produced by a persistent social order in which Black and other racialized bodies are disproportionately subjected to legitimated state violence. Violence which, as we are reminded by the Darren Wilson verdict, often goes unaddressed by state bodies. And instead of addressing it, what the state continues to do very efficiently is to scrutinize and flex its force with increased white police and National Guard presence. And just to clarify, like, I don't specify white in order to imply that it would have been any better if the police were Black or any other color, but to remind us that this is the social order in which we are working. And in Canada, where the populations of Aboriginal folks is nearly twice that of Black people, we see these dramatic events, situations occur in places like Oka and more recently El Sopoctog. Mm-hmm. And another way this is reflected is if we look at incarceration rates in Canada, and it's very clear the annual reports of the Office of the Correctional Investigators in 2012 and 2013 show us that in the past 10 years, incarceration of Black folks has gone up by over 70% in federal prisons. And this overrepresentation is also found along the same scale for Aboriginal men and much greater for Aboriginal women. So I think it's extremely important to consider the interconnectedness of things as we're mourning this event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and definitely we want to we want to bring the subject into a wider, larger issue to look at these connections. Let's bring Will Prosper into this conversation from Montréal Nord République, a community organizer up in Montréal Nord. Will, maybe if you as well could offer some of your reflections looking at the events in Ferguson.
What happened in Ferguson, I guess, it's very shocking, but it's not surprising, as lots of people has mentioned already. You have to understand that a Black man is killed by the police in the United States. One Black man is killed every 28 hours. So it's time to do something about it. And just like Cal just mentioned about the incarceration rate in Canada, the number is has been increased in the past 10 years of 86% of Black folks being arrested and incarcerated. And for the First Nation population, it's around 40%. And what is even more shocking in those numbers is that in the past 10 years, the only population that has seen some decline in the incarceration rate, it's white male. It has declined by 3%. So you can see there's a big difference between those different communities. At the same time, I'd like to add that, you know, the crime number has decreased in the past 30 years in Canada. So all these numbers are really worrisome for me, and something needs to be addressed, and we need to do something about it, because not too long ago, a young child was killed. He was only 12 years old in the United States, and the police receive a call, and it was told to them that the children is playing with a fake gun. Mm-hmm. And what was the reaction of police officer? He saw him playing around his belt, and he shot him right away. And he's only 12 years old. You would not see that in any other communities. And why is it so accepted in the Black community? And when I say when is it so accepted, it's by the society as a whole I'm talking about. So, and there's so many comparisons that you can do with Montreal North, but I'm just going to wait to see what are the other questions you want to ask.
So, yeah, actually, our next question relates to that. The streets of Montreal North also erupted with riots following the shooting death of Freddy Villanueva back in 2008. What are some of the parallels you see in these two cases?
Well, many parallels. First one, it's the poverty level. You can see the poverty level is really high in Montreal North. Same thing in Ferguson. You also have some failing school, lots of dropouts. And in the States, it's even a school that we call pipeline to prison. You can see the way the schools are built. It's almost like it's a prison-like environment. You know, you go through security guards, they search you, you go into the school. It's like you're in a prison already, the cafeteria, everything looks the same. It's an increase of police presence. There's so much police presence in those different neighborhoods. You get racial profiling, of course, and a staggering number of fines that is giving to the community. If you take just the population of Ferguson, every household in the Ferguson, the average amount per household of fine that they were getting, it's $321. And you know there's a problem with poverty over there. So what happens when you have these high numbers of fines that the people are getting? Well, then you get some arresting warrant. And when you get warrant, you get three per house. Afterwards, in 2013, that was given by the court of Ferguson. So you can see it's a whole spiraling problematic that they have over there, and they are actually criminalizing the whole community.
Mm-hmm. Let's just take a minute maybe to look at the issue of police impunity, which I know is what a lot of people are talking about in Ferguson right now. So, of course, Darren Wilson, the police officer who shot Michael Brown, and we're talking again about an unarmed Black youth back in August. And it's actually interesting, the date, the anniversary is August the 9th. It was the same day that Freddy Villanueva was shot, except back in 2008, of course, in Montreal North. And then, so Darren Wilson, not going to be indicted for this. And of course, Jean-Louis Lapointe, the Montreal police officer who shot and killed Freddy Villanueva, is now on the SWAT team of the SPVM. Will, if you can maybe talk a little bit about like the impunity and what we can maybe draw from that either in Ferguson or here in Montreal.
Well, the main reason why nobody is surprised about the decision is that as a police officer shoots somebody, as soon as he fears for his life, that's all he has to mention, I fear for my life, well, he can kill basically anybody he wants to. Because it has been proven towards the different action, the court action that the citizen tried to take against the police force when they shot and kill somebody, is that every time they are being backed up by the whole judicial system. And in the States, it's no different from Montreal, because if you take a look at the incident with Freddy Villanueva, l'agent Jean-Louis Lampouette that you just mentioned, he said he feared for his life. And while he was on the ground, holding Danny on the ground, he looked up and he saw Freddy coming towards him. And he feared for his life and he shot right at him. But right beside him, standing on the legs of Danny Villanueva, there was a female police officer. And she said she never feared for her life. So Akami was never proven guilty because, you know, Akami, a female police officer that's standing right beside him, never fear for her life. And the other one is fearing for his life. And because he says that, he can do basically what he wants. And that's why he ended up shooting Freddy Villanueva. But he also shoot two other person that was standing over there. So you can see there's a big problem with police impunity. And it's just not police impunity. It's also transparency. Because they're not being transparent when they conduct the investigation. And there was a case recently in Montreal where in Longueuil, where that young child was killed by a police officer that ran him over when he was going 122 kilometers in the 50 kilometers speed zone. And he just ran over a vehicle. And the prosecutor said that he was in his right almost to do that. So he was in his right because he was working as a police officer. So he can go over speed limit all the way. He was in a vehicle, citizen vehicle. So it doesn't matter what they do, they can always get away with murder.
So, Samantha, I have a question for you. What are some of the lessons that we should draw from Ferguson, especially as we apply all of this to how we live here in Montreal?
Well, the BSN, we had a discussion on October 2nd, centering around Ferguson. And one thing that I know struck home with a lot of people who attended was we had a call in from, I actually cannot remember her name at the moment, but it was a nonprofit organizer who works in Ferguson and who was like for round zero is what she called it. She was on the floor there, on the ground there from the day after Mike Brown's death up until, I think, even while we were speaking to her, she was still working on that initiative. And I feel like hearing the story from the people who are directly affected by these events. For example, she was talking about the media and how they portray Ferguson as being this town where it's just all hell breaks loose, basically, and there's no order, there's no social order. It's just crazy black people running around shooting each other. She was mentioning how all the young black people there, you talk to them and the first thing they want to do is leave because it's such a boring, quiet community. Before this happened, it was where she was saying where the families who moved there moved out of the city so that they could have better lives for their children. So they moved to these peaceful communities. And the point was brought up about poverty, where all these factors come into play. You have to realize it's socioeconomic status, it's race, in some cases it's gender, where these young black men are being the most victimized, or young black men of visible minorities are being targeted by the police. I feel like it's all these things you have to take into account. And until all of those things are accounted for, there will be no way to fully address the problem in a way that it'll be efficient. Because we've seen, I personally do not want tonight to turn into a protest where we're disrupting or whatever. I want everyone who's coming to see that these are issues and see the faces of the people they are affecting worldwide. And from that, we are all, well, not all, but many of us who will be here, we are studying at McGill University, one of the elite universities of Canada, they'd want to say. But it is our voices, it is us who will make these differences. And I feel like it's learning about these things and applying that knowledge in ways that there's no way with just justice obviously will not beat the system. It is corrupt. I personally believe it is corrupt. I am in studying law here at McGill, and I see some things, and I sit in my classes and I ask my profs, I say, what is the point of all this? We talk about this in my philosophical law class. We talk about what is justice and like how have we gotten to this definition of rule of law as we so define it in our culture. And I feel like it's learning these things, seeing the problems with these things and fixing them from the ground up. That is what's necessary in these cases for change to come about, personally. That's my opinion. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's something I'm personally working towards. And in times like this, like I can't even really just think logically and straight all the time because it's so hurtful. But you have to realize there's greater at the end of this. If we just work together, we move forward, we learn, and we try to put change on this broken system.
Mm-hmm. So, Samantha, we know you have to go because you got your hands full organizing this vigil tonight. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me. It was really nice to hear from everyone. Thank you so much.
Great. So again, that vigil is 7 p.m. tonight on the main McGill campus. Will, let's just turn it back to you for the last word. We only have about a minute or so, but what are some of the lessons, the important lessons that people should draw, you know, looking at Ferguson for Montreal?
Just like Samantha just mentioned, we have a broken system, and we have to decide whether we want to be part of that broken system or how we get out of this broken system. And we've been protesting. We've been doing a lot. My father was protesting when Griffin was killed, when Gossett was killed, when Marcellus Francois was killed, and that's 20 years ago. And I was protesting against Villanueva that was like 5 years ago, and we're still doing that with Magloire. We're still doing that in our days with Trayvon Martin. We're still doing that. Nowadays, what are we going to do now? We need to do something else because the system is very capable of adapting themselves to what we are doing right now. But we are not doing a good job protecting our children, and that's what we have to look at. Do we want to participate in this kind of society when it doesn't want us? We have to think about this. And I'm not too sure that we need to participate in this kind of society that is unjust for all the black males, especially when you go to these different schools. If you go to school in the United States or even in Montreal, you have 3 times more chance to be suspended from the school. It's starting already from the school. And then you have more chance to be arrested by a police officer. Then you have more chance to be a dropout of the school. You know, all those different factors are actually hurting us a lot. And we've been doing a lot of the same thing. Now we need to take a different look at it, and we need to act on it, and we need to be to find a way all together. Mm-hmm. And it's just not a black problem. It's not even a black problem. It has nothing to do with the color. We need to act on it and do something different so we don't have this kind of situation, this situation anymore.
All right. Again, Will Prosper from Montréal Nord République. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, thanks for having me.
We are going to go now to coverage. And again, we are also speaking with Kai Thomas from DESTA, the Black Youth Network, as well as Samantha Samuels of the Black Student Network of McGill.